Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to Abundant Life. We're so glad you're with us today. We've got an exciting program for you. We're talking about faith. In fact, we're talking about everyday faith, how you can activate faith in your life and how you can walk that out, praise God, walking by faith. My name is Ashley Terades. This is my wife, Carly, and we're excited for you to be with us today. Like I said, we're right in the middle of a series called Everyday Faith. And you can get that series is available on our website at terradesministries.com. That's terradesministries.com. You can go there and get the rest of this series, praise God. But we're excited because what we're teaching on is how to practically walk out your faith, right?
Right. We've been teaching through what faith is, how to use it, characteristics of faith, how to overcome unbelief, how to use faith and verbalize it.
Right.
And now we're going to be talking about how thankfulness activates faith.
That's right. So thankfulness, you know what? Thankfulness is so key to activating your faith. And it's so important. The way we are, our attitude, if you like, it determines, you know, you've heard the old saying, your attitude determines your altitude. When it comes to faith, it really is your attitude, your thankfulness will really propel your faith. It will really water your faith. And it's amazing what thankfulness will do. You know, I said this the other day. I said, negative thinking or negativity sees the glass half empty. Positive thinking or positivity sees the glass half full. But really, thankfulness sees the glass overflowing.
Amen.
Thankfulness can just change everything. Thankfulness is so powerful. And I've got a few examples here about how faithfulness can actually change your situation. Having faith and actually being thankful for the situation can really change the natural, praise God. So this is 1 Thessalonians 5:16. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through to 18, Paul says here, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." You know what? The will of God for you. We have a lot of people say to us, you know, what's the will of God for my life? You know, how can I step out in faith if I don't know what the will of God is in my life? You know what? Right here, Paul says this is step number one to walking in the will of God. This is step number one, and this takes faith. It takes faith to rejoice always. You know, rejoicing always means rehearsing the past victories, remembering what God has done for you, remembering all the goodness of God, remembering what God's got done for us, rejoicing, and doing that always, rejoicing always.
That's not easy.
It's not easy. It takes
faith. Especially if you're going through some storms, some trials of life, you know, I guess it might be a little bit like consulting the wounds.
You know what?
It kind of goes against our nature, doesn't it?
It goes against our nature, but I tell people this, the time when you least feel like being thankful, the time when you least feel like being thankful is the most powerful time you can be thankful. It's the most important time for you to be thankful and start giving thanks to God. You know, some people say it's worship. We're calling it thankfulness, but it will propel your faith, praise God. It'll make your faith work. It's amazing what it does. So like Carly said, sometimes you might be in a situation, you say, "Ashley, there's no way I can be thankful. You don't know my situation." Let me tell you, there's a way you could be thankful. There's a way. If you start focusing on what God has done for you, you start focusing on how good God is, you can be thankful, praise God. There's a great story of this, a great example of this, if you like, in Acts, let's find that verse here. I think it's Acts 16. So in Acts 16, you know, in Acts 16, Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. And I won't go right through the story, but basically,
I was reading this just the other day.
You were reading it just the other day. Yeah. Look at that. Acts 16. This is Paul and Silas. They were beaten, given many blows, and then thrown into prison for something. You know what? They were preaching the gospel, so it wasn't like they were doing anything
wrong.
It's
persecution.
It's persecution. They were thrown into prison, and you know what? Back then, prisons weren't like they are today.
They weren't holiday camps.
They weren't holiday camps. You didn't have Wi-Fi and, you know, all this type of
nice
stuff.
Nice warm beds to sleep in.
No, it wasn't like that.
3 meals a day.
Prisons back then... Prisons back then were rough. In fact, most of the time they would have been in the sewers, in the open sewers of the city, underground, and they'll be chained to the walls of those sewers. So this is like a really rough place to be in, dark dungeons, basically. Mm-hmm. And Paul and Silas were literally chained in that prison. And guess what happened? They gave thanks to God. They started worshipping God and giving thanks to God. They weren't thanking God for the situation. They weren't saying, "God, thank you for this." That wasn't God's will for them.
Mm-hmm.
But them being in prison wasn't God's will for them. But you know what? By thanking God and being thankful, they got into God's will.
Mm.
It's amazing how that happened, you know. And they were so whatever the situation you're going through, whatever the trial you're going through, whatever the storm you're going through, if you start giving thanks to God, find something to give thanks for. Even if it's just that you're breathing. If you're watching this show, you're probably breathing. So even if the fact that you're breathing, whatever
something to praise God for.
State you're in, How about this? How about you thank God for what you have in Christ? You know, what about you thank God for your salvation? What about you thank God that Jesus, you know, God gave his son for you? He gave Jesus for you. Praise God. What about you thank God for Jesus, you know, basically paying your price for your sin and sickness and poverty and rising again and being alive today?
Man, we can thank God for so many things. This is huge because sometimes we'll try and find a formula to get out of our situation.
Right.
And, you know, Paul and Silas weren't looking for a formula to get out of their situation. They weren't praising God, hoping, you know, God was going to change the situation. They didn't have an ulterior motive. They were just praising God because of who God was.
And we know that.
And that was huge.
We know that because they were thanking God and just having a worship party, basically, just praising, singing to God. And then the earthquake happened, right? Some people say God was tapping his feet and creating an earthquake. But you know what? The doors of the prison opened and they didn't run off. They stayed there.
Right.
So that shows you sometimes we get into the point of we only worship God to break through a situation, which isn't necessarily wrong. But Paul and Silas here, they weren't even doing it just to get out of prison. They were doing it just because they were genuinely thankful.
Shows the motivation of their heart. And you know, it's interesting what Ashley was saying there, that thankfulness is it takes us into God's will. It's God's will for us. And also on the flip side of this, faith can only operate where the will of God is known.
Oh, say that again,
this
Carly.
This is huge.
Faith, say it again, Carly.
Faith operates where the will of God is known. In James 5, it says it's the prayer of faith that will save the sick. You know what? You can't pray a prayer of faith if you don't know the will of God. Because faith is based on a guarantee, on surety. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith is based on a guarantee. In the Amplified, that same scripture, Hebrews 11 verse 1, it's talking about faith being the guarantee, the title deed of the things we hope for. It can only operate where we have confidence that something is God's will.
Wow, that's powerful.
And thankfulness brings us into that place of realization. I remember this scripture here in first chapter of Romans. You know, we've read in this series already, verse 17, it says, for in the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But if you carry on down just a few more verses into verse 21, it says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened.
Yeah.
So this is talking about people that know God, but are not thankful. And so their hearts become darkened.
Wow.
Man, if we want to be people of faith and operate in everything that God has for us, access all the promises, the good things that he has for us, man, thankfulness brings us into that place of enlightenment.
Key. It's key. It really is
key. It does.
Key. It's powerful. It's key. I'm telling you, I'm guilty of this, of not being thankful. And, you know, there's often been times in my life where I'll start looking at the negatives, oh, woe with me, this is going wrong or that's going wrong. And it's very easy, just in our natural minds, just in the natural carnal selves, to focus on the negative things and to focus on what's going wrong. And whatever you focus on gets magnified. Remember that. That's why King David says over and over in the Psalms, you know, magnify the Lord.
Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me.
All that is within me. Psalm 103, a great example of that. Psalm 103 goes through it. Basically, David's talking to himself and tells himself.
He's giving himself a pep talk.
He tells himself, you know what? Magnify the Lord, oh my soul. Mm-hmm. He's telling his soul to magnify God. And he says, forget not all his benefits. So how does King David come into thankfulness? He starts listing all the benefits. He healed all my diseases.
He's counting his blessings.
He's counting his blessings. He healed all my diseases. He forgave all my iniquities, forgave all my sin. You know, he satisfies my mouth with good things. Mm-hmm. He encircles me with loving kindness. And if you read that Psalm 103, you can see David there basically priming himself for thankfulness. Mm-hmm. He's telling himself to be thankful, and then he's listing the things to be thankful for. And you know, David often wrote these Psalms in terrible situations.
That's
and it's
true.
Amazing. In fact, I've got an example of that here. Mm-hmm. This is in 1 Samuel, I believe, 1 Samuel 30. So in 1 Samuel 30, if you have a time at home to read this, but basically what happens is David and his men went out to battle. When they came back to Ziklag, where they were, the Amalekites had invaded. And what happened was they'd carried away, this is 1 Samuel verse 30, and what happened is they carried away their wives and children from the camp.
Chapter 30, right?
Chapter 30. So 1 Samuel chapter 30. Mm-hmm. And what happened was while the men were out, David and his men were out to battle, the Amalekites came in, took their wives and children, took them hostage, and then burnt their town down.
That's a bad day.
It's a bad day. So King David, it gets worse. King David comes back to camp, comes back to his hometown. Their wives and children have been kidnapped and taken away, and their town is burnt down. So they've burnt their towns down, they've burnt their houses, and his wives and kids have been carried away. So he turns to his band of I'm paraphrasing, this, you can read this yourself in 1 Samuel chapter 30. He turns to his fellow warriors, his friends, his comrades, and basically his comrades are so upset with him, they threaten to stone him. So they're trying to stone David. So now he's lost his wife, his children, his houses are burnt down, and now he turns to his friends and even his friends want to kill him. This is a bad day. If anyone's got the right to not be thankful, it's David, right here. But if you read this in verse, where are we? Verse 6. So this is 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. In verse 6. It says, now David was greatly distressed, do you think? David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was so grieved. Every man for his sons and daughters, because their children have been carried away, their wives have been carried away. But listen to this, this is key. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He had no one else to encourage him. He had to strengthen himself in the Lord his God. And the way he did this, we know it. You can read the Psalms. He did this by remembering what God had done for him and who he was in God. I mean, he started giving thanks.
And David is a real testament, honestly, to, you know, the Lord describes David as a man after his own heart. And when you study out the life of David, you see David didn't always do things right.
Right.
He made some really big boo-boos. He got himself into all kinds of
mess. Can you say boo-boos?
Boo-boos, yeah.
Can you say boo-boos?
I think right? He made some royal mess-ups. You know, he ended up having an affair with Bathsheba, murdering her husband. I mean, it was just bad. But yet, every time, he maintained his relationship with the Lord.
Right.
And he came back and he repented. He was always a man of faith.
Right.
Even though he made some mess ups, he never moved away from God. I mean, that's really important.
And he said, you know, against God have I sinned. He kept his relationship with God and said, Lord, against you have I sinned. And, you know, David's greatest act of faith, if you like, was really forgiving himself for what he'd done, because he felt so grieved for what he'd done. It cost him his son. It cost him one of his best warriors. And, you know, that was his fault. But he forgave himself because he knew God had forgiven him. And he moved on. That took faith. So right here we see he was distressed. Everything had gone wrong. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And like we said in Psalm 103, and there's lots of examples about how David gave thanks to God and was thankful, had a thankful heart and rejoiced in the Lord. And it's amazing how that encouraged him. And the end of the story is basically they go out. He was encouraged. He got his men pumped up again. They went out. They recovered everything. And not one thing. They didn't lose anybody. No one lost their life. No, you know, they didn't lose any of their wives, any of their children. They recovered everything, praise God, and even got spoils back from it. So David encouraged himself, and it turned around the situation. So I'm telling you, when you give thanks, it will turn around the situation. It's amazing what it can do, praise God. Whatever situation you're in, the situation can be turned around by your thankfulness. Mm-hmm. When you start giving thanks to God, it's like you're inviting God's power in the situation.
Right. Right,
and the opposite is true. When we start complaining and moaning, I don't want to put anyone under condemnation or try and make bigger this than it is. But basically, when you start complaining all the time, you start moaning, it's amazing. It's almost like you're inviting the enemy in to make things even worse. You're magnifying that.
Rather than blessing our seed, we start cursing it.
That's right.
You know, I remember a time when we were in on the farmhouse, and we had a bunch of cars. Actually, we'd buy and sell cars, and we had all of our liquid cash, if you like, tied up in our car stock. And we had probably had about 10 cars out in the yard. But, you know, we didn't have any liquid cash to go and buy groceries, because everything was tied up in the stock. And in the end, I mean, it was getting to the point where I was like, we need to sell. These cars just weren't selling.
Right.
And I'd gotten to the point where I was kind of grumbling. Like, I wanted to go and buy groceries. I wanted to go and, you know, buy stuff. And I was frustrated. And I started grumbling before the Lord. And I said, what is the problem? And he said to me, you've just forgotten that you're blessed.
Oh, that's good.
And I'm like, oh, I have. Good. I've started cursing what God's given me.
Because you was complaining.
Because I was complaining.
Nothing's working. These cars aren't selling.
Right.
And things like that.
And so he's like, you've forgotten that you're blessed. And I suddenly got a revelation, like, hang on a second. It says in the scriptures that everything I touch prospers, and the flocks of my field are blessed. Now, I might not have flocks, but I have cars out there,
Deuteronomy 28.
That's it. And so I went out, and I started laying hands on the car, and I'm like, red car, you're blessed. Blue car, you're blessed.
You didn't know the
green
make
car,
and model of the car.
Doesn't matter. It's
she
irrelevant,
say,
right?
Like,
just
know,
the colors
Focus
important.
Focus or, you know, GMC. She had to say red or blue. I'm sorry, Kevin.
It's fine. Anyway. So I started blessing the cars, and I just got it down on the inside of me, like, we only need one buyer for these cars. Whoever comes on the property, they're taking home a car, praise God. Man, I started preparing for rain.
Right.
You see, faith is thankful.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And this is another characteristic of faith. Faith does not consider the alternative.
Amen.
So I had stopped considering what could go wrong,
right,
and started to be thankful for what I did have and started to plan for the future. I started to plan for those cars to sell.
Isn't it amazing how we can start thinking? It's almost like faith in reverse. We start playing out of our imagination, well, if these cars don't sell, by next week we'll be out of money and then we won't be able to buy any food.
Oh, we get to forecasting how bad it could get.
Once we dig into the deep freezer, you know, we always have a deep freezer full of food, but once we get through all that food, then we'll have no food. And in 2 weeks' time, we'll have no food. Then we'll start starving and then
your brain starts getting away with it.
And you can go ahead of things. You can do that with sickness, you can do that with poverty, you can do that with relationships, you can do that with all sorts of different situations. We can actually imagine the bad things and actually play that out in our mind.
Right.
It's creating a way for them things to happen.
But what happened instead was, you know, when I got that revelation, it was like thankfulness started to bring me into a place of faith.
Right.
And it changed my actions and it changed my speech. And I went back in the house with this big farmhouse kitchen, and we always did our deals on the kitchen table.
Right.
I started cleaning the kitchen. You know, we had little kids, so our kitchen was always full of craft projects and all kinds of stuff at the time. I was like cleaning off the dining table, and Ashley's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm preparing for rain. Bless God.
Preparing to sell some cars.
Yeah, and within about 3 days, I mean, it was supernatural, wasn't it? Those cars, one after another, buyers just kept showing up. And before you know it, we looked out and that car, that yard was empty. All of the cars are gone. They'd all sold. But you know what? That we came into that place because of thankfulness.
Right. One time we literally sold every car we had.
We didn't have a car. We had to rent one.
I had one car left. And the guy's like, you're selling that? And I was like, if you're buying. So we went to, I said, you've got to drop me off at the airport though to rent a car. So they dropped me off at the airport. I rented the car for a few days until I bought another one.
Yeah.
We was carless. Like that Spanish person,
it's
Carlos.
Being carnal.
Carlos.
Oh my goodness.
So that's what thankfulness can do. Thankfulness can get you into faith. Thankfulness will water your faith. Thankfulness will put you into a position to receive from God, praise God. And it's so powerful. It blesses God as well. And we're thankful. When we tell him thank you for what we've done, it blesses God. Sometimes we look at God like, you know, he is almighty. He's the creator of the universe, okay? But sometimes we look at God like he's nothing like us. You know, we're made after God's own image.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing how God will say thank you to us.
Just like when your kids say
it blesses
thank you to you. Doesn't it bless you?
It blesses you. No, Zephaniah, I think it's 3:17. Zephaniah 3:17 says God rejoices over us. God rejoiced over us with singing. I mean, that's powerful. I mean, one time God asked us to give a big offering, and it really touched my heart. You know, where your treasure is,
your wallet too.
Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And God said, and there was a missionary in town. God said, give this amount, that money you've got in the bank that you're saving up for a down payment on a house, give that to that missionary. And I was like, at first, I was like, I can't hear you, Lord. I was like, ooh. But you know what? God was trying to get more to us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another whole lesson. But if God asks you to give something up, it's because he's trying to get more to you. God's not a taker, he's a giver. So if God asks you to give something up, he's trying to get something more to you. So anyway, I called Carly and she said, go for it. So I wrote the check, gave it to the missionary. He took the check off me. I started crying. He started crying.
You having that little tug of war with the
moment.
Check?
It was quite a moment. But anyway, I remember getting back in my truck. I felt so blessed. You know, Acts 20:35 says, you know what? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
I got back in my truck and I drove down the road. And I'm telling you, I was just thanking God. I was like, God, thank you so much for using me. Thank you so much for us being able to give this money. I felt
mm-hmm.
so blessed. And you know what? God said, clear as day. He said to me, thank you. God Almighty
wow.
thanked me. And I know some of you may think, actually, God doesn't thank us. I'm telling you, God thanked me. And I was just blown away. I couldn't drive. I pulled the truck over. I was a mess. You know, I was crying. And I was like, Lord, you're thanking me.
You're welling up now.
I tell you, it was tough. I said, Lord, you're thanking me. He said, yes. He said, thank you. I've been trying to get that money to that missionary. You know, he needs to build a Bible school, a physical brick and mortar Bible school. And he used that to build this Bible school. And he said, I asked several people, but they didn't hear me. He said, but you heard me and you was obedient. He's like, thank you, thank you. And it was like, it blew me away.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, when we thank God, if you're a parent and your kids thank you, it blesses you. When they say, hey, you're a good dad, or thank you, it blesses you. So don't forget, you know what? It blesses God when we thank him. When we thank him for all he's done for us, it blesses him. He loves it when we worship him. He loves it when we give him thanks and give him praise, praise God. So don't forget that. Thank him, praise God. The other thing about thankfulness is thankfulness will really increase you. Thankfulness will increase your resources. And people say, what do you mean, Ashley? Well, I mean, if you have whatever you have in your hand, whatever job you have, whatever small business you have, whatever you have in your hand, whatever you're using, if you start giving thanks for that, if you start thanking God for that, it can create increase.
Yes.
A great example of this is in the feeding of the 5,000. We haven't got time to go there, but in the feeding of the 5,000, Matthew 15, verse 14, you know what? They came with the loaves and fish to Jesus. And what did Jesus do with those loaves and fish?
He took them and he blessed them. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and he blessed it.
Yeah, he blessed
even though it wasn't enough to feed the people in the natural,
right.
Rather than cursing his seed,
right.
Kind of like me with the cars, right? I said to stop speaking curses over him. He took it and he blessed it to heaven.
Yeah. And you can study that out. It says he when he blessed him, he actually gave thanks for him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, thank you, Lord. So imagine this. This is the type of situation. Imagine you have, because they had 5,000 men to feed. It could have been 15, 20,000 with women and children. And they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's the equivalent of like having a $200,000 debt. Imagine you've got $200,000 debt and it's due today. You've got to pay that debt right now. And then someone comes along and gives you $20 and says, here's $20. Or maybe you've got to, you know, you can sell something and make $20. How many of us would take that $20 and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for this $20.
Right.
No, we'd go, that's not enough. Mm-hmm. And almost discard it, almost curse it. And say, that's not enough. That's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Jesus took those loaves and fish, which was like having $20 with a $200,000 debt. He had 5 loaves, 2 fish with 5,000 men to feed. And he lifted up his eyes and he thanked God. He said, thank you, God, for these. He blessed them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, there's times you need to bless what's in your hand. Don't curse it.
Right.
Give thanks to God for what's in your hand.
Start with what you do have.
Amen.
Be thankful for what you do have. This is it, isn't it? I mean, man, I'm thinking of Philemon 1:6.
Yep.
You know, this is my favorite scripture, okay? But our faith becomes effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
In other words, while we start to be thankful for what we do have and start to give thanks for what we do have, man, it brings us into a place of faith. It causes our faith to become effective.
Amen. It's like a snowball effect.
Yeah.
The more we give thanks for what we have. You know, the original sin, when the devil came to Adam and Eve, what he convinced them was, is basically, you haven't got enough. And basically, you know, if they stopped then and gave thanks, said, God, thank you for giving us this whole garden. Thank you for giving us, like, you know, a million trees to eat from. Thank you for what you've given us. Thank you for our relationship with you. If they'd been thankful, that temptation of that one tree they couldn't eat from wouldn't have been a big deal.
Amen.
But what the enemy does is he focuses on that one thing we haven't got.
Man, and he'll magnify it.
And magnify
he'll
that one thing.
It.
And start, and you start complaining, oh man, if only I had this, if only I had that.
Mm-hmm.
And you could start ending up looking at, focusing on what you haven't got instead of what you have got. So wherever you are, start thanking God for what you have got. You know, I know people that say, oh, I hate my job. I hate my job. This, that, and the other. Start giving thanks for your job. Start saying, God, thank you for my job. Thank you that I'm not like some people that haven't got a job. At least I've got a job, however I don't like it, but start thanking God. Because I hate my boss, you know, blah, blah, blah. Start thanking God for your boss.
Mm-hmm.
Start praying for him and thanking him. My spouse, but be careful what I say here. But you know what? Start thanking God for your spouse. It's amazing when you do that, you start thanking God for people in your life, start thanking God for the things in your life. It's amazing how that leads to increase, and it'll put you into faith. And I'm telling you what, your faith will become effective when you start giving thanks, praise God. So
Amen.
Be thankful for what you have. Thank God for what He's done for you already. Start thanking God for all the good things in your life. It will make a difference. I'm telling you, it will make a big breakthrough in your life.
Amen. Well, that about wraps up our series here on Everyday Faith. And we hope that you've enjoyed this and it's ministered to you. You know, we've talked about a lot of things, and there's a whole lot for people to digest over this series that we've been explaining. But, you know, there are some key points in this that I just want to recap, honestly, that our faith becomes effective not only by being thankful, but it's a part of our sonship. It's rooted in an understanding of who we are in Christ, in our relationship with the King. And when we start to understand that, man, it activates the faith that's already in us in Christ Jesus. And it helps us because as we start to meditate on these things, on who we are in Christ, we're meditating on the Word of God. Faith places a value on the Word of God that's higher than anything else in this natural world. And when we start to do that, we'll start to see that our unbelief is less and less of an issue. Our faith will start to blossom as we start to plant the Word of God in our hearts and mix it with faith. And then we add to that, man, thanksgiving.
Amen.
Amen. And we activate our faith through not only thanksgiving, but through our words as well. And our words will start to contain power because they're based upon the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. So before we finish here, I just want to make you aware that One tool that we've made available to everybody, to all of our listeners and supporters, and through our website at terrydaysministries.com is our confession card. This confession card, if you basically put your name at the top, and then it just goes through a load of declarations, confessions that are based in the Word of God, it starts to tell who you are in Christ, that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, that you are above the circumstances, than not beneath them, that your faith, you have the faith of Jesus on the inside of you, amen? That no weapon formed against you can prosper. All of these truths are written down on that card, and we're going to make those available to you, and you can just go on our website,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, go on our website, terrydaysministries.com, and you can receive that card. We'll send you one free of charge. We'll email it to you anywhere in the world, and if you're in the States, we'll send you a physical copy.
Amen.
If you want a physical copy, we will send you one of those as our gift. Our partners have made that available to you, so you'll be really blessed by that, praise God. You can also go on our website and get this series. This is called Everyday Faith. This is a brand new series. You can go on our website and get this series, praise God, all 10 parts of it,
yep.
All the things we've been talking about, faith. This will really help you activate your faith and walk in the faith that God wants you to walk in, praise God. So
amen.
God is good. We're so glad you're watching today. We want to pray for you,
yes,
before we leave you today. So Father God, I thank you for everyone watching. Thank you for everyone listening today. I thank you, Lord, that you love them. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us so much to be thankful for. We just thank you, Lord. Wherever you're at right now, just start thanking God. Thank you, Lord, for all the things you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us and taking our place. Thank you, Lord, for rising again. Thank you, Lord, for giving us everything that attains to life and godliness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we have so much to be thankful for. I thank you, Lord, you've only got good for us. And I thank you, Lord, you've got great plans for us. Plans for us to prosper,
amen,
and to be successful in, amen, Jesus' name. So wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening from, you are blessed. Praise God. Start thanking God for what he's already done for you. Praise God. And we'll see you very soon again on The Abundant Life.
To order your copy of this teaching, visit our website, terrydaysministries.com. Download your free copy of Ashley and Carly's teaching notes at our website, terrydaysministries.com.
So, I've got something really fun to show you. This is our confession card. And actually, God downloaded this whole confession card to me after I had an argument with my husband, which I'm sure you'd never do because you're way more spiritual than I am. But basically, I got to moaning and complaining, whining and griping, having my own little pity party. And the Lord said, get out a notepad because I want to tell you how I feel about you. And so in those few moments, he downloaded to me how he thought about me, every good thing that he'd put on the inside of me. And as I started to write those down, I realized, hang on a second, every one of these truths is a scripture. So I wrote them down and I put them in this confession card. And we've just made this available for you today. If you would like one, you can get your very own copy. Just visit terrydaysministries.com and put in your details and we'll send you one completely free today. So get your copy, don't miss out. I know it's really gonna bless you.
Coming up next on the Abundant Life program.
Holy Spirit is our comforter, he's our helper, he's our guidance. He's the power of God flowing through us to touch our life and the lives of the people around,
amen,
us.
You know, even Jesus didn't do any miracles until after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
This is really
so
important.
So if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to perform miracles and to heal people and to see the power of God flow through his life, I'm telling you, we need the Holy Spirit. Jesus was our example. He was 100% man while he was on earth, although he was still 100% God. But when he was on earth, he was 100% man, so we could follow after him.
Join us next time for the Abundant Life program with Ashley and Carly Terrades.